Right, Scotty, thanks very much, mate. Another big hitter we've managed to get on. And my third favourite Australian.
Well, who's the first two?
First, Natalie Imbruglia, for obvious reasons.
Okay, yeah.
Second, Toadfish for Neighbours, even more obvious reasons.
Right.
And me. This guy here, third. Looking $1 million as well, mate. Thanks very much for coming on.
Well, I had to compete. I've been watching your other one, so...
And what, are you happy with the gear? I've been getting caned for it, mate.
It's very Dundonian, yeah.
It's like most stylish city in Scotland, as you know, mate. Right, we'll go down under straight away, mate. Back to Australia, where it all started.
Yep.
What made you get into football? Because obviously it's very rugby in it. So were you the only wee guy that was 2 foot in the flanker, or what made you get in it?
Even where I'm from, it's AFL. So it's very strong because it started off as, to get boring, it was like the VFL, which was like Victoria. Mm-hmm. Now it's a national wide in Australia. But pretty much, obviously, it's, as people probably know, my background's Scottish. My whole parenthood and heritage is all from here. I'm a first generation Australian. So my mum and dad immigrated separately at the time with their own families in the 50s and 60s. And they met over there at a football club, actually. Wow. Funny enough. Uh-huh. One that my dad played for and I played for in the end.
Your mum was a goalie.
Oh, come on. But it used to be more a social club than a football club. That's what people used to do when they come over, the expats and that. They would sort of congregate in these sort of places as a social club more than a football club. And that's how they met. And then obviously the wee man came about, myself. And pretty much football's always been ingrained in me and in the family, from a very young age. And my dad was a decent player himself. He played a lot of junior stuff over here before he had to, more or less be dragged away to go to Australia. He played with the likes of Alan McCoist in select teams and stuff like that. Wow. So it was probably in the genes already. But he's probably been the main influence, my dad, and obviously my mum as well. They've been great and support-wise. But I never really took it serious. It wasn't really something that, as a guy that was living in Australia, I actually thought he'd progress and, come overseas and make a career of it.
Obviously, the Celtic thing, you grew up a Celtic fan. Was that through your dad as well?
Yeah, through all my father's side, and there was no chance. Even though my grandfather from my mum's side was a big blue nose. Uh-huh. He used to come home with a teddy bear every time he used to come back from Scotland every year.
Right.
And he would try it on, but in the end he gave up and ended up bringing in Scotland tracksuits and stuff. I can still remember the Scotland tracksuit. It was an Umbro one. It was quite a nice one, actually. But it was always a mixed day, green and white.
Willie?
Yeah. I'm afraid to say, sorry, Willie, that was Paul. Number eight. My other grandfather, obviously from my dad's side, used to come over every year as well, just to see family and friends, because he's still got his daughter here, right, with my auntie who lives down the road still. And every year I used to get a new jersey, so it was always ingrained. And obviously the time that we were growing up, though, it wasn't a very good time for Celtic. It was used to get pumped all the time. Mm-hmm. So all the rest of the Rangers supporters around, obviously, like I said, because it was a football club, but it was a social club, you were ingrained in it. And as much as you think that you're away from all that silly nonsense, it's still on your doorstep, even 25,000 miles away.
That's crazy.
There was a couple of punch-ons, I'll tell you that.
How did the Southampton thing come about? I
came through all the select sides. I did really well. It's called the Victorian Institute of Sport. So I played in that under a guy called Ernie Merrick, who's now still managing in the A-League over there. Progressed, and another guy called Stuart Munro, ex-Rangers, left back. He was a manager of it was called the National League at the time, the A-League then. Was quite interested in taking me on loan. I was only 15, so I managed to do that. And from there, the national team coach for the under-17s noticed me, because I was a year below that, so I was only 15, so it was a majority of the sort of 16-year-olds that were getting selected at the time. But I managed to wiggle my way in there just at the death, and never looked back, really. It was amazing. We had to qualify for those World Youth Cups that you see, uh-huh, pretty much a lot of them on Eurosport these days, I think. So we played in that in the under-17s, and it was based in New Zealand. Once we qualified, and we got all the way to the final. We got beat by Brazil on penalties, 8-7.
Oh, any Brazilians?
Adriano.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Adriano, Dani Alves. There was a couple there, yeah.
Decent.
But those tournaments were amazing. I managed to play in three of them in the end for Australia. One at the 17s level and two under 20s. And obviously some of the players, when you look back at even the books and you're like, oh, he played, that one played. Some really impressive names in the whole thing, great experiences. But from that tournament, obviously because our team did so well, about six or seven of us got headhunted, more or less. I had the opportunity to go to either Southampton, Bayer Leverkusen, and actually I got a phone call from Willie, can you believe? He phoned up my parents, somehow got the number, but he was wanting us to come over for a trial. And at that point, I'd already agreed a deal with Southampton. And more or less, if we had have obviously jumped off to Celtic, as much as it would have been nice, the deal would have been off the table. So it was better to know what you had rather than what if, and then you get obviously leave yourself short.
So Southampton under Gordon Strachan?
Yeah, well, again, obviously signed the deal there. Dave Jones was the manager for a day.
Uh-huh. You got a mistake.
That's what I thought at the time. That was funny because I met the chairman on the same day and he had a big black eye and it was all rumoured that Dave Jones had more or less given one. Oh. There was a lot of stories going around, obviously, at that point. But anyway, that's not for me to discuss. onto that was Glenn Hoddle.
Oh, wow.
Who was unbelievable. I can still remember training with him. He still trained with us.
Were you straight in the first team?
No. Obviously, I was YTS, so I did my YTS for... I more or less progressed. I was there. I was in it for about a year and progressed. I probably should have been doing my second year, but I ended up straight into the reserves. And when Glenn left the club to go to Tottenham, Stuart Gray, who was the assistant manager at the time, got the job. And when he became in charge at the start of the new season, I got my chance and made my Premier League debut when I was 18. I think it was against Aston Villa. I'd previously played in the League Cup against Brighton before that, got man of the match, and everything was great. It was amazing, rosy. I was loving it. Obviously, first 6 months were very tough when you come over from such a far, you know, place and not having any family and anything like that. But then you begin to realise that you're actually this sense of freedom is quite good. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mum, but you start to learn a lot about other things as well. So I always say when young boys come over, it probably does take you a year to start sinking in and actually realise what you're really there for. Yeah. Because for 6 months it's hard, you get homesick, and then for another 6 months you start to find this self sort of like, well, individuality, and well, I can go out and I can have a drink and the girls and this and that, but then you finally realise, well, hold on a minute, what we're here for? You know, you're here to achieve and to do well in the game, and I've seen that so many times even now, you know, with Aussie boys that have come over, you know, because you relate to them so much.
So at Southampton, who were the older boys? Was there older boys that helped you?
Yeah,
first team then?
Well, like I said, because I made my debut so young at 18, I roomed with Klaus Lundervam. That's where they put me with, which he was a tremendous player, centre half at the time. Matt Letizia was still within the squads as well.
Legend, huh?
One of the best players I've ever seen, especially finishing wise. He's like, you gave him one, two, three, it'd be in the top corner. If you gave him any sort of time on the ball to pick his spot, it was game over. He was just that good, and in training, the things he would do, albeit at the time he was probably, you know, coming to the end of his career. So little did I realise that I was doing, you know, double the running at the time. he was pointing to do this, and do that. But Wayne Bridge was there as well, and James Beattie. They were excellent to me, coming through and really looked after us and put their arms around us. They were great. It was just such a great time, great experience. And like I was saying to you off air, there's a lot of players even that you wouldn't recognise, and I would say their names and people probably wouldn't realise, the likes of Francis Benali, Jason Dodd, you know, just real, real top pros, but don't get the recognition, obviously, like the other fancy players do. But when you see these players training day in and day out, you really see the qualities of these players. You know, there was some top players there. We even had Mark Hughes at a point. I used to clean his boots. He was scary, man.
Mark Hughes, well.
Yeah, he's proper scary. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd just growl at you. he wouldn't even give you the nod of acceptance if they were good or bad, so you didn't know. You were just always guessing what was happening.
Old school.
You used to have to give it the old knock on the door. Obviously, times have changed now. That just doesn't happen. All the boys come in and eat all your food before you've even come in after the game now. It's incredible.
So how did Motherwell come about? I think you had a couple of loan spells, and then how did Motherwell?
Yeah, well, obviously, you touched on there with Gordon. Gordon came in after Stuart Gray at Southampton, and Stuart Gray was only in the job a short period of time, and as it is, the club wasn't doing as well as what they they wanted to do or expected. So Gordon obviously come in and went with what he knew, and that was with the more experienced types of players. And when you're at such a young age, it's very, very hard for you to be able to understand that or accept that. And you kind of think you've made it. Obviously, you've had those couple of games and you think, this is me, I'll get my new deal and everything like that. And we're cruising here. Then a new manager comes in, shakes the whole thing up. Your confidence gets shot. You start going back in with a youth team. You're not even training with the reserves mm-hmm. anymore. And you start going, what's going on here? So it was a massive shake-up for me. And at that point, you know, Gordon just had other ideas. I wouldn't say he didn't rate me. It was just other things. And I think he thought, at the time he said, you know, my attitude wasn't right. And there was a couple of times where I trained really, really well. For say you were training on a Monday when the first team had played on a weekend, so you would have the sort of, as you do, the reserves, and young boys would train with the rest of the first team players. And and you were, and you know about those
kind. Oh, I've been there many a time.
And obviously Stratton's, you know, naughty runs on a Monday, uh-huh. so he still did them even back then, mate.
Didn't
so
he,
yeah. Oh yeah, they were naughty. But I remember him pulling me a couple of times, saying if you could do that all the time. And but you always felt as a young guy, well, you're not giving me the opportunity. This is all your fault. And you tend to do that when you're young. And like we'll touch on later on, probably on other questions. But you once you mature a little bit and you grow up, you see things from different angles and different perspectives than what you possibly did when you were very narrow-minded as a young fella. But in the end, you know, my confidence was very shot. I ended up going on loan to Huddersfield, which was a complete disaster from start to finish. Our assistant manager at the time, when Stuart Gray was there, was Mick Wadsworth. Guy I got a lot of time for, really loved. But obviously the predicament of Huddersfield at the time was very difficult. And you're a young lad going there. Was asked to play out of position. I was playing left side of a three up front. Never done it in my whole time as a young player. I probably wasn't fit enough to play at that level.
That's a graveyard shift, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. And when your team's struggling as well. And it was really a horrible time, but a real testing time, because what happens when you're a low knee as well, and when things are very hard at football clubs, you tend to get the brunt of it because you're a low knee.
Easy option.
You're an easy target, and you don't care for this club. You can piss off tomorrow, and it doesn't really matter. And to make matters worse, the club was actually, you know, in trouble financially, and they started to, well, wind up, and they ended up in administration. So the 3 months I had there was enough, and I'd said to Mick, look, it's probably best I go back and just restart, and I need to get back in the manager's face. But once I did that, I was even further down the pecking order, and I ended up, it just went from bad to worse, really. And I ended up contemplating just going home. I wanted to go home. I'd had enough at 20 years of age. I was like, right, done, dusted.
With football completely, yeah, you were going
to
wrap it.
Well, I just wanted to go home and start again, really, pretty much, and go back to the National League, it was called at the time, and just try and kickstart my career again, but have the family support base around me, because it's tough when things aren't going your way, as we all know, no matter if it's football or just in life in general, and you don't have that support base around you. So I just really felt it was time to pack it in. But in saying that, you know, my wife now, her family was fantastic at the time as well, because obviously you finish a contract, you're out of digs, so you've got to find somewhere to live. I ended up living with my wife's family for, you know, 2-3 months. Went on trial at Dundee United, funny enough.
Wow.
Went on trial to Wimbledon, who were also in financial implications due to, I think there was an ITV deal at the time. You might be too young to remember this. But the Freeview thing had just come in, and they had bought all the rights to Football League, and they were pumping loads of money in, but within 3 months they pulled out, so all these football clubs were in deep trouble financially, so it was becoming even harder for young players to try and even get a gig anywhere, but I ended up going to Wimbledon for 3 months, and it was sort of like a month-to-month deal. It was horrible, and they were relocating to MK, so it was just another disaster, really. So which more or less implicated, right, this is it, had enough. But I ended up going with Dave McPherson, ex-Rangers, ex-Hearts.
He gets boys over at us, you know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Between him and another chap, another Aussie boy, Lou Sticker, the two of them were quite cohesive with everything, because Dave had gone over to Australia to play, and that's how they met. And that was where the link had come. And I think we've seen the likes of the McGowan brothers come, and Jackson Irvine. There's been quite a few that have come over from that, from Dave and Lou itself. And it was more or less, right, well, go to Motherwell and just try your luck, because it's only a week. Mm-hmm. Just do it. If it fails, then you're going home anyway.
It's quite similar to Australia as well.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I went to Dundee United. I didn't like it, so I fucked off down the road. I was like, I ain't coming here. It was completely different from Southampton at the time, mate. But
Southampton's lovely as well.
It was beautiful. Obviously, the South Coast, and it's a little bit closer. It's a little bit more like being at home, you know, the weather and everything like that. But yeah, so I ended up going up. Obviously, big TB, Terry Butcher, was a manager at the time with Mo, Happy Mo, Mo Malpass. But obviously, both great guys. I owe them a huge, huge debt, because within 3 days of being at the football club, I'd managed to do quite well. There was a few players talking about me and saying, I should sign him up, which really helped. And Terry, within 4 days, was like, right, I want to sign you. And that was just a weight lifted off my shoulder. That's just what I needed at that point particularly, because my confidence was shot very, very low. But for someone like that to see something in me and actually believe in me, it's just what a lot of young players do need, don't they? You know, you said, like, it doesn't matter
no
if it's...
No, it
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's now or 20 years ago. I still think that, from a mental point of view, players still need to be loved and need to be given the confidence as well to go and produce. And Terry and Mo certainly gave me that lease of life just to go. And they gave me a 6-month deal. I was only on £250 a week, but I couldn't care less. I wasn't bothered about money. Was just not a problem at that point. I just wanted to play. And to be part of actually, because you'd played some first team football up to that, but just to be playing on at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, just felt like you were one of the big boys again. You were playing, you know, a big part in the first team, and it was big football, and you had a chance to play against Celtic and Rangers, and well, we all know the stories from there on in. So you know, it was a great time, and I really enjoyed it, and thoroughly made a lot of good friends, and who I still speak to now throughout that whole period. Like you were asking me about, you know, Kevin McBride,
because Barra's, I still speak to Barra, and he said when he went on loan for Celtic, I think he was 20-21, to Motherwell. He says, I phoned Kenny McDowell after a week, and like, this dressing room is mental. They just fight all the time.
Yeah.
Is that what it was like? Because it was Foran, Scott Leach. Was it a hard dressing room to go into?
Yeah, it was old school. It was really old school, but it was great. There were so many senior players. Derek Adams was there. Obviously, Scott Leach was there. We had David Partridge. He was proper mental. We had Richie Foran. I mean, there's so many stories, and obviously we had TB as well, who was completely nuts, you know. I remember going, I think it was my second game we played at Easter Road, and he was like, oi, you, fucking come here. He's fucking like that, right, so he pulled me up. See that fucking door there? I was like, yeah. It used to be on that fucking door there, till I fucking kicked it down. What do you think about that? I'm like, I'm very good, Gaffer. What the fuck do you want me to do? Like, holy shit. And to be fair, mate, it wasn't the only door he'd kicked down even in my time there. He was old school, mate.
Did he encourage the boys to fight each other and stuff like that?
He didn't mind it. Uh-huh. He didn't mind a bit of tastiness, you know. Look, it wasn't like a boxing club where we were all boxing every week, but, you know, there was that sort of... And I don't mind that, you know. I'm still particularly like that myself. That people were open and voiced their opinions, but they wanted the best for the team, you know, and if you weren't putting, you know, if you weren't putting it in, you were soon told, that was for sure. But there was a great team spirit and team harmony, irregardless, and I think if even Kevin would probably say that as well, in terms of, to be fair, we did love a beer as well.
Mega Bar Saturdays, yeah. I remember I used to see
it. It wasn't just a Mega Bar, we used to have Champions League Tuesdays as well as Saturday. Honestly, it was like...
And did Big Terry not mind that now?
Nah, Terry did. Well, as long as you're performing, I think, I mean, like, you realise now, and the game has evolved so much even from then, and we're talking, what was that now, maybe 12, 13 years ago, but we were constantly out as young boys, but we were producing the goods on the pitch, and when that happens, though, it's kind of bad, because you kind of think you're invincible as well to it, so you continue to go down those routes, but you soon wake up. Eventually, and find out that it's just not possible or viable to continue doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think especially when I moved on from Motherwell, you certainly realised that quickly, and I was shook up. Some would probably say I didn't even shake up even when I was at Celtic, because I used to get obviously a lot of stick about my weight even then. So I think probably more when I went down to England, and you've seen the athletic ability of, you know, what you're up against, mm-hmm. and realise, gonna have to change a few bad habits here, Scotty boy.